Hello, I am Britt Sexton, clinical social worker at MCHC's Knott County Medical Clinic. Unfortunately, one in five people will experience mental health disorders or substance abuse. These conditions have increased in children and young adults. At MCHC, we treat the person while reducing the stigma that is associated with behavioral disorders. With MCHC's sliding scale, you only pay based on your family size and income. MCHC providing better physical and mental health for a longer life.
The Drill, sponsored by MCHC, providing better health for a longer life. Man, I missed everybody last week. It's getting to that point, man. It's the holiday season. It's getting cold outside, and I don't know what Brady's doing on here, but he's doing something. But I missed you guys last week. Brady, I'm glad to be back for another week.
We are, and we had to bring it back with a bang. We got an exciting guest today, Blue. I'll let you introduce him.
Oh, my gosh. Listen, you know that my heart is so much in basketball, but here in the Commonwealth, we just finished up with one sport, and that is football. Now, this guy is not strictly football. As a matter of fact, I don't know if there's anything that this guest does not do today. But one thing that he does as good as any is win on the football field. We have with us a current state champion in Class A football in the state of Kentucky, one of the assistant coaches from Sayre High School, Mr. Joe Conley. Joe, I don't know if I can even explain how excited I am at this point to have you on this podcast.
Well, in case anyone doesn't really know who I am the Joe Conley of the Joe Conley shooting extravaganza at the University of Kentucky basketball mini toddler camps. So, that's kind of my heaviest piece of clout, if you will. With that said, though, I must preface this. I have taken on the sole role of the middle school football coach here at the Lexington School. So I do help coach at Sayre, but I am more of a 40-year-old glorified ball boy that actually sneaks in a little bit of coaching every Friday night while I'm with the gang. But I'm not one of these six position coaches that was there for every single practice as I was running our middle school program this year with three little kids of my own. With that said, I've been there since the genesis of this thing, because it all kind of started in the elementary middle school ranks as we've built this thing up, thanks to the great Chad Pennington, who is just unbelievable. I'll get into some talk about him hopefully later, because that guy deserves every bit of kudos imaginable for what he's done with these kids. Back Joe, to you, Brady.
Joe, I'm giving you a ton of credit, man, just because it's like you mentioned, dude. It starts with you, brother. It starts in the middle school ranks. You're feeding these kids into Sayre, and you know they're winning for a reason, baby.
If I might, I will just to do it credit as I drive around the parking lot here. So long story short, and I'll say it's short. Hopefully it's not too long. I started a football team at this little school for all of you guys in Eastern Kentucky that might be listening to this who have never heard of this place. It's called the Lexington School. I had I played football at Division III Center College, and my grandfather's a Hall of Fame coach, and my brother's a defensive coordinator at Center, and just been in the football family my whole life, and came to this little school to teach. Had taught it actually at Trimble County and coached there for a while, for a year, and didn't really want to be somewhere without a football team and a couple kids. two kids whose father's from Letcher County, Dudley Webb's sons, and another kid, Clark Dupree, whose father is actually from Harlan, came to me that second year of teaching, or first, and begged me to start a football team, which we did. We were pretty decent that first year and then got really good by the third year. And the fourth year, Chad Pennington comes to town. And, yeah, he's a little better than me at football, I think it's safe to say. So that was not, there was no argument or weirdness about kind of letting him take the reins of this thing. But he treated me perfectly the whole time and let me rock with him in every step of the way. And I'm already talking too much. I'm sorry. But the whole thing was built up mission driven from the very beginning, from the get-go of all of it. And it was never about winning. Chad would always say, hey, we can go somewhere else if we want to win. We want to change these kids' lives and do the best we can. And it's been 12 years later now from when he came, and you saw the product in the state championship. So pretty amazing stuff.
Brady. I want to just, you keep mentioning Chad Pennington. I'm fairly confident that any listener that has any idea about sports on this podcast knows who Chad Pennington is. You know, obviously former NFL player, was comeback player of the year in the NFL a couple of times. I think for the Jets and the Dolphins, played for both teams. But Joe, what's it like, you know, a guy like Coach Pennington coming to town? Obviously you were doing great things with this program, but what's it like for someone like Coach Pennington to come to town and for you to just continuously learn under someone like that?
Man, probably more so. You guys knew me, I think, maybe even before he came. You could probably see the difference in me personally, because he's had that much of an impact on me as a person, just professionally, with relationships, with being a father, all that kind of stuff. I couldn't think of a better role model, which sounds silly to say because I'm 40 years old now, but it's true. There's a Herald Leader article from like the first year he came, and I'm quoted in there, and Mike Fields did the story, and I didn't even know he was quoting me. And I was casually talking to him like by the bleachers and said, man, here I am coaching football with Chad Pennington. I got to pinch myself sometime, you know, as silly as it is. And it was surreal at first, but the guy, like, he never looked down on me or anything like that. I know nothing compared to him, and he'd be right there, you know, cleaning up puke with me or picking up trash or sizing kids with, you know, in uniform, shoulder pads, helmets, and just doing any of the dirty work, any of the stuff that isn't glamorous or sexy. That guy would do it. And then some, and always put, you know, his staff, me, first, treated me like family, from day one. And his kids are, I consider them like I'm their probably silly uncle or something like that, because I love them all so much. And his wife's the best of the bunch. So just, it was weird. It was like crazy and exciting and stuff. But now, I mean, it didn't take long for him to be as personal. You know, you all been around celebrity type of guys, and you know how some of them can be. And I would say he's probably the exact opposite of anyone that would show even a speck of arrogance or hey, look at me, or I'm too good to do that. Like, that is not Chad Pennington. Probably because he grew up like a real person. His dad was a football coach. He gets it. He's in it for the right reasons, and has just always been a great human. It made it really easy. Made it really easy to work with him for so long. And me and him have been working together for 12 years straight now. So I love him to death.
Well, you've talked a lot about Chad. Let's talk about Joe Conley. With explain your game for someone that never watched Joe Conley play football. What were you like?
Oh, probably NCAA record. You think I'm kidding when I say this. Let's go back to Brady. And we're allowed to get a little goofy on here, right?
Absolutely.
I'm telling the truth. Okay. Only like our families and a few other, you know, 30 or 40,000 people listening. So when I was in, let's say, fifth or sixth grade, you won't believe this, Brady, I weighed 225 pounds. I was on my way, I was about as tall as I am now, on my way to the NFL, baby. It was signed, sealed, delivered. I wrecked a go-kart going into seventh or eighth grade of Adam Hunt of Hunt Brothers Pizza. You all know the family. Oddly enough, the house was back right next to where the current Sayre Athletic Complex is now, some 30 years later or whatever it is. However, I lost some weight going into eighth grade, then became the best damn tight end you will ever see in your entire life at 5'9". Just a hero of a tight end, let me tell you. Best hands in the world. My brother was the quarterback on the most unexpected, sure, but like the biggest miracle football Cinderella story ever in Kentucky was the 1997 Bourbon County State Championships, coached by none other than Dudley Hilton from Bell County. I'm sure, well, born and raised in Washington County, Springfield, but was a Bell County, breath at first, then Bell County. He's the second most winningest coach of all time. Comes to Bourbon County where we had never won a playoff game ever. And we won the state championship the first year. So my brother got good at football by throwing me balls at night under a street light. And it was pitch black. And I either broke my nose or I caught the dang ball. And so I did that probably 400 times a night for several years. And little fat unathletic me got really good at catching the ball. Fast forward to college. They probably took me as a legacy. I tried hard, but I wasn't something that they would have been dying for.
Rudy, and, Rudy,
yeah,
Rudy.
A little something like that, maybe. And I got good at scout team my like sophomore year. My brother comes to be a coach. Did not want to play under him as a linebacker, so I moved to offense, to fullback, because I started as a linebacker. And next thing you know, I'm on scout team, so I'm with him half the day anytime anyway. The beautiful thing was, Brady and Wes, I wasn't good enough to matter, so he made his all-conference linebackers tackle me to the ground. So every day, I was playing the most high-level football you could ever see. They were getting screamed at for not taking me down, and so I got it full throttle, full force. And by my senior year, old Joe's with here was our short yardage back. Anytime we were within 3 or 4 yards of a first down or a touchdown, they gave it to me. 6 touchdowns later, I think I have the NCAA record for fewest yards and most touchdowns and fewest wow. carries in a season. I would love for someone to look that up because, like, you know, I probably ran it 12 times and got 6 touchdowns for 20 yards or something like that.
So Joe, you were the original, you were part of the original, what's it called? The Philly, the butt, the butt push or whatever.
I needed no tush push. No, I tush did not push. Need a tush yeah. push. But I would run directly into the backs of whoever was in front of me and just get my 3 yards or 1 yard or 1 foot, whatever it needed, with reckless abandon. Totally. So
it's amazing.
That was me. That's my football. Yeah. You better believe it.
It's amazing. You were like, so you were scout team, so you didn't really have to be ready and locked in on game day your first 3 years. Like, let's be real. Saturday's
the first
game.
Couple, yeah, I was on special teams. I got to travel eventually. But yes, no, that poor kid, one kid, Adam Blanford, if you're listening out there, wherever the heck you live, he did all the work and got us down every time, and I took all the touchdowns. So I think he was like conference player of the year, though.
All right.
Joe, this is amazing. I've known you for several years, and hearing this story and hearing your football career, I love you even more than I ever thought I could.
Buddy, I love you too. I love you too.
I just thought you were a camp coach extraordinaire.
Is that what you thought?
That's what
you
I
like
thought.
How I wear polo? Do you like how I wore polo shirts so everybody thought I was a real coach because I looked old?
People
would text me during the season asking me stuff like, hey, how's the team going to do tonight? I'm like, dude, do you know I teach Spanish at middle school over here off Poplar Level Road? But whatever. I'm a lawyer, too.
Which hey. For people not that don't know, Joe is, and he kind of said in the beginning of the podcast, Joe is one of the best camp coaches in the history of the Kentucky basketball camp. Him and Bowers, who
– Oh, yes.
Give him
– Who now works with me. He works at my school. He's the
Yeah.
best. Love
And
him.
the tag team of that crew and running their camp, they were absolute legends. It's almost like I think the parents loved you more than the kids did.
We did some gimmicky things back in the day. We'd have them write letters and stuff and to their parents, and I bet some of those people though probably will keep those letters for the rest of their lives.
Heck yeah, you
Rest
all
of
did
their
an
lives.
amazing job. And then, can you explain the wildcat shooting that you all invented? I think, don't you claim you invented that?
I did invent it. I invented it, but I stole it from the Bozo Show grand prize game. I don't know if you, Wes, you're probably old enough to remember this. Brady, they probably didn't get WGN up in Campbell County, so you may not have watched it. But on Bozo, the clown up in Chicago, they would put these buckets out and you'd throw a ping pong ball in there and they'd give you like Wrigley's double mint gum or spearmint gum or something. And if
Oh
you got
yeah.
the first bucket, so on, you get like the Bozo at home game. It was the, I think it was called the grand prize game, actually. The grand prize game. And so basically this basketball game, you start right, it's as easy as it is. You start, you make it, you get back in line, you miss it, you're sitting down. And it kills a lot of time at camp. And it is very, very exciting towards the end. And the best thing is some of these kids miss the first shot. The first one's the hardest one. First one's the hardest one, baby.
First
So
one.
grand prize game. Shooting extravaganza.
I can already tell you, I know for a fact that we have several listeners on this podcast who are former Kentucky basketball camp members. So I know so many people are going to be listening to this going, oh, I know this guy. I remember this guy. Man, that makes me so happy. I'm also Joe, I know before we started this podcast, you asked me about Clay County and Bobby Keith. So one of the first things that popped in my mind was the old story about Richie Farmer, right? On him and Russ and how they became such good shooters. They lived on the side of the mountain, and Richie always said, you know, if I missed, I had to chase the ball down the side of the hill. So I just learned not to miss, so I didn't have to chase the ball. And then Joe gets on here and tells the story, Brady, about how his brother was throwing footballs to him in the dark, and he either caught it or got his nose broke, one of the two. And I feel like I'm in heaven right now hearing these stories from Joe.
We'd also West play tackle football on the concrete outside. Truly, true story. Because we heard Jerome Bettis did that when he was a kid, and we wanted to be like Jerome Bettis. Believe it or not, funny though. You mentioned Richie Farmer. I was listening to radio on my way home from the sack during that football run, and he had said, "What did he say?" He said the reason he got so good. One of the reasons was that his dad told him if he started varsity or something as an eighth grader, that he would buy him a Corvette or something like that. I don't know if it was a Corvette. Probably, you Clay County guys, it's probably an IROC Z. But it was some nice car. And he had said that he was on like Glover or something like that the other night, I promise.
So what did you get when you made varsity?
I got my parents yelling at me a lot, probably, and I had Coach Hilton probably telling me that I was too slow and needed to get faster. So, but I started as a sophomore, so and I started JV as an eighth grader, but I did not get a ring. Mom, anybody out there want a Christmas gift for me? I want a Bourbon County 1997 state championship ring because I practiced and I started JV and I never got my ring because I was in middle school. Thank you.
Oh, we got to get somebody out there listening to this podcast has to get Joe this state championship ring. I mean, come on.
It seems to me, Wes, that Joe's got a lot of like honors that he has under his belt that like nobody knows about. Only Joe knows.
Maybe I've manufactured some of them, Brady.
I know
I'm an
one
Eagle
thing.
Scout. That's real.
That's amazing. Joe, talk to us, and I think Wes was going to hit on this, but talk to us about this TLS team, or not TLS team, the Sayre football team. For people that didn't watch them this year, explain your
Yeah.
on how they were.
So I'm thinking most like from I'm trying to be think about it from someone else's, being in someone else's shoes. they'd probably think, oh my gosh, private school, right? You're just recruiting kids left and right, doing whatever you can do, you know, to get them in, just build a winner like that. That's the only way it would be possible, you know, to do that in from scratch in 7 years. And that's absolutely not the case. There's one kid that came that started, I think, that transferred in, just one. And he is a cornerback, great kid. But the rest of them all had either gone to Sayre at some point, or had already been at Sayre or had been at TLS, at least at some point in their lives, and had played, you know, in some type of sport for either Chad or I, if I'm not mistaken. And then some other kids obviously would come as freshmen, but they weren't coming in after that. And that's pretty wild to think about. You know, these two tiny schools had housed or homed these kids that started on this team. And another thing about it, and I'll get into it a little bit more in depth if you'd like, but this team, people don't realize, was the number one defense in all of high school football, all classes this year. Number one defense. And people don't think about it. They think of Brock Kaufman, who was an amazing kid. I'd love to keep talking about him, who's going to Louisville, and Luke Pennington, who had thrown about 100 foot touchdowns to zero interceptions at one time. And Charlie Slayball, some other kids that have just been amazing offensively, but the defense was just downright nasty. And we had, I don't know if any of our starting D linemen had ever played D line before. And
Wow.
the knock on us is, you know, these kids are, they can't play mountain football, they can't play country football, they're soft, yada, yada, yada. And maybe that was fair in some regards the last couple of years, you know, like how we ended up the season. Raceland, I think, ran for dang near 400 yards on us last year to beat us out in the region. I remember 2 years ago just getting hammered by Harlan down there at Harlan with the railroad right behind us. But we stepped up, got a lot better, and led the whole state in defense, which was just phenomenal. These kids on the team are like, I would trust any one of them to babysit. A lot of them do babysit for me, with my own three little boys. But just upstanding kids. And I know, I mean, heck, I'd say people say that all the time, you know, about kids, and they're not without their warts here and there. But all in all, here's a very telling thing, and maybe you guys see this yourselves. I never saw bad body language out of any of these kids this year. And I sat there and talked to like the middle school coaches who have a lot of kids that are on the high school team too about this first. Like, we didn't have a kid talk back the whole middle school season. And then come to think of it, I was talking about some of the coaches, you know, with some of the coaches in high school, and I never saw them do it whenever I was there on Friday nights or when I would come to practice, when it matched up. And they said they never saw it when I wasn't there. Kids, you know, even rolling their eyes or shrugging their shoulders, showing bad body language, or definitely not talking back. I mean, it's pretty amazing in 2024 when it's a me, 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 me kind of world we're living in. And these kids all genuinely bought into it. And we're all on the same page. And I think that's just very telling about the character of this team. And it would have been impossible without, you know, that type of mindset and continuity. I know I'm talking too much and I warned you guys about that, but
That's
the
great.
other
This is
amazing thing about this team is the offensive line. Now, this offensive line, we have one giant kid, Wyatt Moore, who's about 6'6", 270, 280 pounds. The rest of them, Brady, might not weigh any more than you do. And I'm serious about that. Great players, right? But little guys, when you're thinking about, you know, 6'4", 280 pounds, which was a lot of the teams we played, average that. And we kind of, for sometimes for these state championships to work, you serendipitous, I won't say miracles, but, you know, the stars have to align a little bit just right. And, but really, this staff has just been absolutely incredible, that Chad put together for these kids. And it starts with him, obviously. We've talked about him already, but people think I'm probably like being a spokesman for him, but I'm not kidding when I say it. You can ask anybody that's met him. The guy's just the most selfless dude in the world, and he never stops working for other people. Just true servant leadership, and it's perpetual, and it's caught on with everyone else. Second, if you're talking about, Chad serves as the OC and head coach, but Brian Washington, who was Paris's head coach and played football at Paris back in the day, one of the most wonderful guys you'll ever meet, brilliant football coach. We were the number one defense in the whole state out of all classes, and that's a testament to him, but he's really a spiritual guy as much as he is a football genius. And he fills, and I hate to use a cliche term, but he fills the kids' cups and the staff too with his wisdom and his godliness daily. And it's huge. It really is. It's just huge for all, all the kids, all the coaches, myself included. And he's done a lot for me personally over the years. And I can't say enough about that man for what he does on and off the field for the kids. Aaron Zimmerman's been there since the very beginning. I was lucky to play football with Aaron in high school. Very good buddy of mine. I've probably mentioned him on here a couple times before. Aaron runs the fields out there, does an unbelievable job of keeping those fields pristine, especially the football field. And he's, best one in 10 states, no doubt about it. But Aaron's been there since the beginning. He's a linebackers coach and the special teams coach, and that's been huge for our team. And just a tough, tough old school guy, and he really keeps the kids on their toes. Moving along the list of coaches, it's no secret, it's a miracle what Eric Losey did with our offensive line this year. Eric coming from EKU, took some time off from college. Chad, the stars have to align sometimes serendipitously for something magical like this to happen. And Eric came and took, frankly, a line that nobody believed in. Maybe some of us didn't even maybe think that they would be big enough. I'll be honest, just big enough to get the job done against these behemoths that you're going to go up against. And he took a group of guys, mostly sophomores. Only one had ever started a game before. Probably averaged 185, 190 pounds. And that's including one kid that's a true monster, Wyatt. At 6'7", or not 6'7", 6'5", 270. But he took, he took a bunch of sophomores and a junior and really led them to something that was miraculous. That guy needs to have a book written about him because I've never seen anything like it. Those linemen being Chris Escobar, Eli Greer, Colin Smithwick, and Judd Masters, who all of them had played, football for us in middle school, all four of them. And lacrosse, too, probably coach them in basketball, high character kids. If they didn't have as high character as they do, it wouldn't have been possible. Even with them, even with their God-given athletic ability, he really turned them into something unbelievable. Going down the list, Kamari Carey, Coach K, played some college ball up in Michigan. Fantastic. Really, really guided our defensive backs this year. It was wonderful having a built-in defensive backs coach for the guys, and he connects very well with the kids, and he's not afraid to speak up, and he's just got a wealth of knowledge. He's been unbelievable for the guys. Another guy, Aaron Maggard, a Paris boy like myself, played for Coach Wash in high school, just graduated from Georgetown College, fresh out, played receiver up there, had a hell of a career, and he's really, really been huge in developing the guys, that you haven't heard of. Or some of our guys got him even better that were already awesome, like Chase Parker, Kamonte Braxton, of course, Brock, but some of the younger guys too. And he's a really devout Christian himself and a student of the game and carries himself so well the kids want to be like him. Matt Hartnett, who coaches lacrosse with me, a St. X product, right? So now you got somebody from a great program. Coached with me in the summers on my club teams and I knew he played football up at St. X. And I, as much as I want to keep him in middle school, I said, hey, Matt, you got to go. They need you over there. And he went. He coaches lacrosse and football over there. And Matt's just been tremendous. And then a little more near and dear to my heart is Johnny Pointer, who has been a head coach all over the state at several little schools, building them up and turning them into contenders. And Johnny was a scout on our state championship team in 1997. We wouldn't have won it without Johnny. He just retired from Madison Central, took them to new heights just here recently up there with with their staff, and I called Johnny up, and he came on down, took a group of kids that had never played D line, and now they're state champs. And he was the D line coach. So another fella, and I got to mention this guy's name. I'm sorry if you guys are listening, I'm getting annoying. Coach David Lee. Look David Lee up sometime. He and Chad become great friends when Chad was at the Dolphins. Coach Lee's been a head coach. Coach Lee was the offensive coordinator for those Darren McFadden,
Oh,
Felix
wow.
Jones, yes,
Wow.
Arkansas teams. He spends a month in Kentucky with Sayre every summer just because he loves Chad and he loves these kids so much. And he's seen where it came from, a pile of dirt, man. It was literally a pile of dirt over there. And those guys built that up. A lot of other coaches have coached throughout the years with us, but those guys have really been fantastic, and I love them all. I mean, that's not uncommon for guys don't go to therapy, right? You know what I mean? And in this day and age, your coaching circle is kind of like your built-in therapy, and we need it. As silly as it sounds, it's real. You know, it's a real
Yeah.
thing, and I couldn't imagine a better group of guys to not only feed off of each other, but to inspire and impact young people than those guys that were the real true position coaches for Sayre football this year. Unbelievable staff, unbelievable.
Yeah.
Any friend of Joe Conley's a friend of mine.
And
Get
you
out of here.
top to bottom, though, I would say Sayre athletics as a whole has had a lot of wealth, at least from outside looking in, had a ton of successful former players. I think Rex Chapman's helped out a little bit, obviously, in the basketball side. I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, you would know better than I would, Joe, but I think even like I know like Sam Bowie's son played for Sayre. I think he's helped out a little bit. I think Steve Zahn was actually an assistant there at some point, wasn't he?
I don't know if he was an assistant. He may his kid played lacrosse. I know Charles Thomas, who was Mr. Basketball from Harlan,
Yeah.
coaches over at Sayre. Just some great people all in all. And Rich Little, the athletic director, and the co-athletic director being Rob Goodman, who's the head basketball coach. They've just been tremendous, as have our athletic directors at the Lexington School, and the Lexington School's head, Una McCarthy, and my boss, Tim Alford. They've just been tremendous in letting us do this football program at the middle school level. Without them, it's not possible without their contributions and support. And that's from a lot of Caesar Fields, is just being encouraging. It's wonderful, wonderful people, wonderful people. It takes a village for sure.
It says a lot about your program and what you guys are doing that I don't care if it's Chad Pennington, I don't care if it's Tom Brady, they can be buttholes, right? So unless they're doing the right things, people don't want to be around them. And the fact that so many people want to be a part of this program and what you guys are doing, I think says a lot about not only the character of guys on the staff, but also the characters that they are building within the program.
I mean, you guys know kids, and this is coming from being a teacher and a coach for many years. Kids are like dogs in the way, they say dogs can sense things. They can sense if you care about them. They can sense
Absolutely.
if it's about you, if it's about them. And, like we were talking about body language before a little bit, and how these kids don't talk back. They don't show poor body language at the middle or high school level, which is somewhat unheard of unless, you guys know a little something different. And that's because they know we love them. They know that the whole group does, top to bottom, or they wouldn't be there. Chad probably wouldn't keep them around, even though he's the nicest guy in the world, because he needs genuine people. He needs genuine folks for it to work the way it works. So.
Hey, no, Joe, listen, I loved, if you could see the amount that I've written down here while you were talking, you would feel so much better. I'm amazed. And one of the things I had not, Joe, I'd not seen Sayre play until the state championship. I came into that game though against Raceland super excited because obviously the previous season you had went undefeated until you faced Raceland at Sayre.
Yeah,
And
right.
then you come in this year and you're undefeated. You're going to face Raceland again here at Commonwealth or Kroger Field, I guess I should say now. And, I feel like two totally different teams. You're a smaller team. You throw the football offensively a lot. Obviously, you mentioned Luke Pennington and his ability to throw the football. Raceland, on the other hand, I feel like they're huge for a Class A school, more of a ground and pound type team. So I was really excited given that y'all had almost 20 interceptions on the year. I thought this was going to be one of the better football games of the state finals. I have to tell you, hats off to you all. Matt Chandler, the head football coach at Hazard, had told me previously to this matchup that he thought Sayre and Raceland was going to be the best game as well. So coming into it, super, super excited. Oh, we lost him.
We lost him.
We
We
lost
lost him.
Joe.
He'll get back on.
He'll get back on. I was just about to ask him, Brady, I wish you could have been at this football game. Man, he was not lying. Just the way they were able to move the football field with Luke Pennington. I was wanting to get his opinion about next year because he talked about that defense. They lose one of those top players in Charlie Slayball. They lose Luke Pennington on offense at QB. I'm really curious to know, obviously 2 years in a row, Sayre football has been
Yeah.
amazing. I was curious
Well,
to see what they look like
and that's
next
what
year.
I was interested to hear too. And he'll jump back on, but it seems to me that they're the way that Sayre and TLS communicate and they're like connected. I think we find they've found like the success in development from the ground up, which you don't see as much in high school or college anymore. So it was cool to hear Joe talk about how kind of, it seems like Joe's putting his handprint in on these kids young and then kind of speaking the same message that Chad is at the Sayre level. And so, like he said, the kids aren't talking back. They're good kids. And then it just flows right into whatever Chad's teaching them at Sayre. So, with the
So,
transfer portal, you don't get that as much anymore in college. And also, the transfer has actually kind of happened at Sarah's or at the high school level as well. Joe.
sorry, I don't know what happened.
You're good. You're good.
You're good, man. My apologies.
Just a couple things, Joe. Me and Brady were talking, continuing on there when we lost you for a minute. Two big things we want to mention is you've talked about a couple things. You've talked about defense. You've talked about your offensive line offense. Obviously, two amazing years in a row for Sayre. Charlie Slayball, I think is how you would pronounce his last name.
Yes. Yes.
You lose him as a senior, and you lose Luke Pennington as a senior. Am I correct in that?
That's right. That's right.
So, obviously, with these last 2 years for Sayre, what can we expect going into next season for the
Well,
Spartans?
there, I think that, obviously you can't replace Brock Kaufman, Chase Parker, Luke Pennington, Charlie, Kamonte Braxton, guys like that just overnight. Pierre Kaufman came on strong this year. He had gone to school, played lacrosse for me actually in middle school, and was one of those D linemen. It was just great. It's just really hard, to Robbie Jenkins, another one that's just fantastic. It's really hard to replace those guys. But the way the program's built, it will be a bit of a rebuilding year, but the kids know that they can do it now, right? There's no secret recipe, and I'll tell you, and I usually was riding with Aaron Simmerman, Coach Sim, it's what the kids call him. We did a lot of miles down to Eastern Kentucky over the last few years, going to Hazard multiple times, going to Pikeville multiple times, going down to obviously Harlan, going all the way to Phelps, which is 45 minutes past Hazard. A lot of time in those cars, try to convince ourselves, hey man, we can do this, I think, and knowing that the kids could, but getting over that hump of finally beating Pikeville, in the in it and it isn't all just about that. Those kids are great. I love their coach. Pikeville's coach is a class guy. He's fantastic. Just physically doing it, and doing it with guys that you wouldn't have expected could have done it. And I'm talking, and these guys know that about our offensive linemen. If those guys could get together and have the season they could, then no one has an excuse. Nobody has an excuse from now on. So bring it, bring on whatever, bring on the challenge. Of course, we respect everybody we play. And I'm excited about the next year because we have a lot of great young talent, a lot of freshmen that are going to be stepping up as sophomores that were, that we developed down in our Pioneers Middle School program that are really, I think, going to turn some heads next year. And then some upperclassmen that have kind of been waiting their turn. Ryan Bloomfield is our strength coach, and he played on that very first PLS football team that we had way back in the
Awesome.
day. And so he's heart and soul dedicated to this program himself, and he's done a hell of a job changing these kids' bodies and just their mindsets. So yeah, I mean, will you have that same level of explosiveness? Maybe not very hard to replace Luke Pennington. Probably second only to his father when it comes to knowing what the heck is going on for everyone's position. And that's no disrespect to anyone else, but the kid's just a genius like dad is. And he's one of the best leaders you'll ever see, one of the best humans you'll ever come across. Same can be said for Charlie Slayball. He's right, 1A, 1B with those intangibles. And Brock's right there with him, too. All those kids. So the leadership thing, it'll take care of itself. And we got kids buying in, we got kids buying into the thing, and the brotherhood, and the four core values that Coach Pennington talks about all the time. Work ethic, character, accountability, resiliency. Those four things have really been ingrained in these kids' psyche, in their and subconsciously and consciously. And if we attack those, life, not just football, but life with those in mind, scoreboard tends to take care of itself. And that's the mission, and that's the plan.
Going hand in hand with that, when we lost you for a second, Brady brought up too, he was interested to see in that, obviously with those players from TLS feeding into Sayre and what you're able to do with them there at TLS. I feel like it's a lost art. Brady mentioned we don't see it as much anymore. When I played at basketball at Clay County, like me and you talked about earlier, I feel like Coach Keith had a real hand on the middle school and elementary programs. Who was going to be in charge of those? What were they teaching? What were they doing? And obviously, with the relationship that you have with Chad Pennington and that group at Sayre between them and TLS, how important is that to do exactly what you were saying, having those younger guys prepared and that, leadership established? To have that connection between feeder and high school program today.
It's huge. It's paramount, honestly, because not only, we don't want to make it some type of factory market, or whatever like that, where you're just going by numbers, right? And could we probably go around to every city school in Lexington and say, "Hey, give me your best running back, come on over." We don't do that. We don't. And our kids are from TLS or Sayre. Every once in a while, if the football situation isn't good for a family, we'll get a kid, typically not a superstar, to be honest, but kids that want that environment and parents that want that type of structure and teaching. And I and no disrespect, there's a lot of great coaches in Lexington, but we think we do it well, and we do it with love, and we do it with the basics. And Coach Pennington, I think, said it himself. The fundamentals and the basics are what won that state championship. And that's stuff that, we've been working on with these kids from the get-go. And funny thing is, for a while there was kind of a culture where parents were like, "All right, when you're in eighth grade, we'll finally let you play." So I was taking a brand new offensive line like every single year, starting them in eighth grade. And we were able, the type of kid, type of program, type of culture, able to, build these kids into football players within a few weeks. And really, a lot of coaches will say, it doesn't matter what you do, people run these kids off, and they'll hit their peak, or they'll get burnt out before high school. Some will say, "Give them ice cream, whatever you gotta do to get them to high school." But we're serious, but we don't take it too serious. It's more familial than anything. And we want kids to have a positive situation and know their role and have goals and be able to achieve them and attain them, and we want to give them the tools to be able to reach that level where they want to be, and even beyond where they think they're able to go. So And that all comes from Chad, you know, up top. And he's not there day to day. I'm the one that runs it, but I like to stay in step with whatever, you know, he's taught me and what he's preaching, because it's the right thing. And it makes all of us better. All of us, parents down to the last man on the bench.
Well, I tell you what, Joe, before I let Brady kick in here, I want to tell you, if living in Lexington, Kentucky now, if I had a kid between you and Ryan Bowers running TLS over there, there's nowhere else I'd want my kid to be than with
Hey,
that group right there.
love it, love it, love it.
Joe, we have a surprise guest that has phoned in for a question to ask you by the name of
Just love
Bobby DeRamo. He has asked. He's noticed you've been posting a lot of your lacrosse team on social media, and the gear looks great. Could you let everybody know where you got it?
Yes, so there is one person. We haven't even talked about my lacrosse world side of me, but there one person I will order uniforms from for my lacrosse teams, my summer teams at least, and that is Robert DeRamo, Bobby, to most of these friends of the program that have tuned in. Bobby always has my jerseys the Wednesday before we play on a Saturday in our first summer tournament. And they're boxed perfectly and wonderfully, and he personally delivers them to my front door. You can find no better rep than Bobby DeRamo for your sports jersey, equipment, apparel, booster club, whatever it is needs. Please pick up the phone. Call Bobby DeRamo today. He will take care of you
Bobby's the
and
best.
some.
He
Yeah.
also has another question. He said,
Oh,
"Are you
Lord.
still an ordained minister?"
Is he getting married? Does he want me to do his wedding?
I don't know. That's the only thing he said. Are you still an ordained minister?
I don't know,
Because
Brady, you saw me in action. What do you think?
you were great. You actually inspired me to have Winston get ordained, and he married me and my wife.
Is Winston ordained from the Universal Life Church like I am?
Yes. Yes.
I've done my second wedding now, and I'm scheduled to do two more. My second one was for John Michael Montgomery's daughter Madison and her husband Travis Denning. Please download Travis's music and Walker's music. Everyone out there, they're
Amazing.
two up and coming stars. They're gonna be the biggest deal you've ever seen here soon. But yeah, that was awesome. One of my former students, I love her to death.
You were
And
great.
family.
You were great at the wedding. I was entertained. I feel like you could have just went off and had some great stories about Mark and all that. And you had a lot of ammo, I think, to jab and but you were great. You
I
were
did
great.
not. I promised them I would not make a cow joke. And I was going to say, you want to hear what it was? I was going to say, Taylor, you're the only person in Kentucky that is beautiful enough to have John Calipari in the crowd, but everyone's still looking at you. But I didn't say it because I that didn't sound very eloquent just now, but that was the joke, you know, because
You were
everybody's always
great.
looking at it.
I thought you did a great job.
Joe,
Yeah, well,
if
go
Brady
ahead.
had not waited until after my wedding to tell me, that he was inspired by you to have Winston, no offense to my great friend and pastor John Carmack, but I think Joe Conley would have been my ordained minister at my wedding.
I think you should have had Casey do it or Crohn's.
There's a lot of camp names we could have had do it. Busy.
I thought about this today. I wanted to say every camp name we could. Matt Jones and who else we got thinking about this camp Lingolex here. God, man, there's so
You
many
had
good people.
you remember
Cody
Stumbo?
Stumbo.
Yep. Robert.
Robert. Yep.
Golly.
The
I
list
don't know
goes on
who
and
was in
on.
your group. Do you remember Busy?
Yeah, I remember, and you know what I used to do, and this sounds terrible. I would give each or I'd put like what was it, $50 or something in a hat, and whoever was dead last got like $25 in the tournament, because like people would get mad competitive with each other. These young coaches, remember, they would come in and
Oh.
really want to make a name for themselves. I mean, we had people that were like GAs and stuff from like Pitt and places like, not I'll make it up. I don't want anybody to listen and get mad. But they were coming in serious, trying to rub those elbows and get that. And they're over here reporting to me and Bowers.
Oh,
Dude, I'll never forget. You remember Joey Brooks?
yes, yeah.
And Joey, I was running our group, and Joey comes in. I didn't know Joey. He's former Notre Dame basketball player. He's now an assistant coach at
UTSA.
UTSA. And he comes in, and he gets put in our group, and we're introducing ourselves. And I'm like, "Hey, what's up, Joey?" He's like, "Yeah, I'm about to be an assistant coach at, I think, Nicholls State." And I'm like, "And you're reporting to me,
I know, right?
like Joey's taking donor calls," and I'm like, "He's trying to coach his thing, and he's like, I gotta go take a donor call." I'm like, "All right, Joey," but.
Joe, oh my goodness.
I have to throw this out there just because I know you'll get a good laugh out of this. Do you remember Casey Dalton?
Yeah.
And I don't know if you remember the story of the time. I know Brady will remember this well. World Wide Wes
Oh boy.
has his son at camp. And I don't know if you, Brady, do you remember the
I remember
story
that.
in the what game was it? Was it
It was just, I think it was
Hot Shot?
it might have been Hot Shot,
It
yeah.
better not have been the shooting extravaganza because that thing is pure.
It was not the shooting. There is no mistakes to be made in the shooting extravaganza. I think it was Hot Shot because it was timed. And World Wide West, if y'all don't, if the listeners don't know who that is, I mean, famous agent, a million other things, whatever you want to call
Andy
him.
Malik, president of operations at the Knicks.
Mix,
Yeah.
right, yeah.
Yep. But his son takes a shot and right at the buzzer. So I'm pretty sure it was Hot Shot. And I can just remember Casey Dalton not having a clue who this kid or World Wide West is. And the shot going in and the kid celebrating, World Wide West is over here going nuts. And, you know, he's won this competition. And Casey Dalton out of nowhere, you know, Casey Dalton, assistant women's coach here at Pulaski Southwestern now, one of us that like these guys are reporting to. And Casey runs in saying, "Shot is no good. No good." And I can just remember World Wide West being so upset and wanting to know who Casey was. He was like, "What is your name?"
Oh man, I've got one similar. Brady, you'll remember this. Remember when Scottie Pippen's kid was there?
Yeah, dude, let's talk about the alumni of the camps. We've had DJ Wagner at camp. We had Scottie Pippen at camp. We had
World Wide West.
well, in players, like we had
Yes.
the guy, he played at Hawaii. I forget his name, but we had the Strickland brothers.
Dude.
Yep. We've had like Zan Payne.
Right, Reed Shepherd. I'm sure he came
Probably
out
Reed.
there.
He
Yeah,
was
like
there. He was there.
go ahead, Joe.
when they were little, I don't even remember them. You know what I mean? Like, and I probably were like walking these kids to the lunch line in the bathroom and putting them on timeouts and stuff. And now they're millionaires. Could have been a little nicer, maybe. Anyway, Pippen's kid. It's the championship,
Yeah.
and I'm reffing it. Right, I'm reffing. I'm not coaching. I'm reffing this one. And, you know those tiny gyms over there, like the parents are like right on, they're basically on the court. If they exhale, their belly's over the line,
Yeah,
right? And
we're over at the Seton Center, crammed in.
correct. And Pippen is right there, front and center, right, packed in there. And Robes walks up to me before the game. I'll remember this forever. He goes, "Hey, make sure Scotty's kid wins."
Was there
So no
tampering?
pressure
There was
that game.
tampering going on.
No pressure that game. No pressure that. I mean, he was joking, I'm sure, but needless to say, Scotty's kid won that one. But he was good enough. They were up by enough. I didn't have to shave. It's all good.
Man, we could go on for days about these camp stories. I'm sure you've got, I forgot you had all those because I remember like, yeah, Scotty Jr. came when he was young, so you had him in the young group, but
Right.
they were ballers, man. They could have been moved up.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. No doubt.
The amount of NBA talent that has been taught by Joe Conley is just insane.
Yeah, and then it was held down. We can't get off this podcast until giving a shout out to your boy Mark Evans, who handled the camp store and the pizza line. I
Just
mean.
the consummate professional. You know, the man. I got to give Mark credit though, man. Mark's a baller. Like Mark
Oh,
is the
and he's
young.
got his new
I
hair. He's got his whole new hair that changed his whole. It looks great.
I'm telling this story now because Mark will probably never tell it, and nobody's ever gonna dig this one up. This isn't bad. This is just Mark's story. Wes, I don't even know if you know this.
I don't know. I'm nervous.
Mark grows up in Elmira, New York, same stomping grounds, roughly in right down the street from Glens Falls and Corning and all that stuff. You know, some people would say Syracuse close, but you know, Jimmer's right down the way, all that good stuff. Anyway, Elmira, New York. What's his name? The Elmira Express. Gosh, not Jim Brown, but the other guy that was great to play for the Browns. My mind escapes me right now. It'll hit me in a minute. Anywho, Mark knows nobody in the sports world. Nobody. And literally was savvy enough to enroll at Memphis. First day at school. I don't know if that's accurate, but pretty much. He walked up to the basketball office, knocks on the door, said, "Hey, my name is Mark Evans from Elmira, New York. I know no one here. I enrolled at this college and this college alone to work for John Calipari." And the rest is history. They obviously loved it, right? A kid that's leap of faith like that. I mean, heck, at UK, you got to know somebody or you're on a lottery list to be a
Yeah.
manager. And Mark went right to it. He knew what he wanted to do, jumped right in there. And good God, he's killed it ever since.
Amazing.
He's a
Amazing.
Superman. Just awesome guy, too. Awesome guy.
I did not
Love
know
it.
that story, but I'm so I,
It
that
is, yeah. Well, and then I remember the story that he says, and he'll be on the podcast at some point to tell it, but his transition over to UK as well from Memphis, how he made that transition is always is an interesting story. It's a good story. But yeah,
Totally.
he's made a heck of a taken advantage of a lot of opportunities, and no, he's the best.
He's and he does right by people. You know, he does right by people. I remember, man, we used to have, speaking of celebrities, TLS, we used to have guys, good God, they'd come play basketball because that's back when Brian Settle was Mark's, you know, was Mark before, and Mark was just a manager. But like, gosh, all these UK guys, Enes Kanter, people like that. Next time I come on the cast, if I'm ever invited back, I'll tell you about the time two kids in blue jeans and no shirts beat Enes Kanter and I on 2-on-2 in the street outside my
Where?
parents' house. True story. And I was trying. I was actually trying. But anywho.
So where you just were playing on the side of the street randomly? You all
Yeah,
just got.
but we came down and rowed the boat with us down on Stoner Creek one day because we used to like babysit him. Because he could barely, you know, Ennis was like our little boy for a while or something, you know, like kind of new to the country and all that kind of stuff. And we'd take him out to eat and he'd come play basketball with us. And we took him on a boat ride once and all that kind of stuff. And those were good times. And we got out and saw these two kids playing basketball. And it would have been like literally like a 5-year-old this time of year having Santa Claus get out. Everybody knew who he was. And this guy's in Paris, Kentucky, on the side of the road, shooting hoops with these two kids in jeans and no shirts. Like, come on, man. How's that guy jumping out of my car, you know, or whatever, and playing basketball? But I remember being on the court one time, and John Wall and all those guys are playing on one court. And this was in the women's side of craft. And me and Mark and all our guys are on the other side. And I, speaking of records, like I was talking about earlier, there's probably never been a larger discrepancy in talent that close together playing basketball simultaneously as there was that day. And they would stop every once in a while and just look at us puzzled at how bad people can be, I think, at basketball. Even though I'm kind of like Durant, Deron Williams, if you ask Bob, Brady knows.
I remember. Well,
Anywho.
there was a funny story that we would we because I went over and played at TLS with you guys a couple times,
Yeah.
and you all were pretty good. We had what was the guy that played? He cooked me, man. Oh my gosh, he played at Lexcath. Taylor, oh my gosh, I forgot who it was. He would play. He played baseball at he played baseball at. Kentucky, I think.
Okay.
Forget his
I know
name.
what you're talking about, but one of Little Bill's friends, I would say.
Yeah, and but well, I would always get teamed up because I could still run from my soccer days. I'd have to guard the athletic guys. You, Joe, and Mark had a little thing going. They had to be on opposite teams and guard each other because they would go 3-point line to 3-point line. They had a little. They had. You talk about tampering. They had this thing where like Mark and Joe would both get mad at each other if they like went and took a layup. It was like not it was forbidden.
That's false. That's fake news.
That is true, man. You two
I don't believe it, Joe. I don't believe it.
But I'm a hell of a power guard. I don't know what he's talking about.
Man.
I played sophomore year, JV, baby. That was awesome.
I'm not buying any of that story. I think that was Brady and somebody else doing that.
Next time we do this, Joe, we'll get a whole round table on. We'll get Mark. We'll get Bobby on. We'll get a little round table and you guys can just duel it out.
I would love that. I would get some of those old guys, man. I miss you guys. I miss you all badly. For sure. But I had to start having all those kids, Bulls. And I had to stop coming to camp. What are you supposed to do?
Before you get off this podcast, Joe, talk to us. This is a Kentucky sports podcast. Talk about University of Kentucky basketball, your thoughts on the team. Give us a little spiel on what you think of this team. As kind of like an ending to today's show.
Wonderful. As I do that, you know, I'm going to say my favorite coaches are Trey Yeager and Tommy Adoroba and Nate Steiner and Rob Lewis and Woods and Rudy Conley and all the guys that help on my middle school staff, because how could I not say thank you to those guys, Travis and Coach Johnston. He's the best guy, Ron Johnson and Coach Minner. I love those guys. In case they're listening, you guys are the best, and we wouldn't be possible without you. But UK basketball, back to that. You gotta love it, right? You gotta love it. And don't get me started on all this state of college athletics, because we could talk about that for ever and ever and ever and amen. But you got dudes that aren't little boys, right? That are fundamentally sound. Have a little bit of a chip on their shoulder. I love people with chips on their shoulders. Think about rap music. Once people start getting paid, the product goes down. You know, they're rapping about stuff I can't relate to anymore. I can relate to these guys. You know what I mean? I think they carry themselves well. Want to see them get a little bit more aggressive here and there sometimes. Easy for a very out of shape and overweight 40-year-old man, almost 41. My birthday's Christmas Day. If you want to send me something, Brady. Isn't it refreshing to watch these guys play, to watch them play basketball? It's wonderful. You know, I don't get to watch all the games. I'm coaching my little kids' basketball teams now and doing Boy Scouts and all that stuff. But, I've loved it, man. I've loved it. And I sat the very first game, the Webb family invited me to come. I brought my little boy, Joe Frank, and we sat on the floor behind the bench.
I saw you.
You see me? Because I'm hot profiling. And to hear the way, like, you know how you've been around, you know how some coaches publicly, and then when nobody's really watching or listening, they're a lot different. And Pope does not seem to be like that, truly. I never heard him scream at anybody. I never heard him degrade anybody. He was firm when he needed to be, but he was very positive with the guys and didn't really have time to berate people because he was too busy coaching, right? Like telling them what to do instead of telling them what they're not doing. Positive coaching stuff. And I thought that was wonderful. And I don't think, and not, it sounds like a hater or whatever, I don't see this team getting beat by an Oakland type team, you know, like, or a St. Peter's or something like that. I'm not saying they'll win it all, but they could. They could go very far, and it's really exciting. And they seem like high character guys. And my favorite thing, this has nothing to do with anything. The Kerr Krishna guy, it was a timeout, and he like wasn't playing or something like that first game. I don't know what it was, or he wasn't in on the huddle. And I looked at him, and we like for some reason caught eyes with each other. Can y'all see me right now while I'm talking?
Yeah.
And I think he clearly looks like probably me and Mark would do with each other, like that to him. And he did the exact same thing right back to me, like, yep. Mm-hmm. And I thought that guy was awesome. He's like my favorite player now because he did that with me. Nobody, me on the front row. Although maybe he thought I was a booster or something. Who knows? No NIL from me.
Maybe he thought you were paying his NIL check.
He might have thought that. He might have thought that. You never know.
That's amazing.
He's also, Joe, one of my favorite guys, not just because of the energy that he brings on the court and to this team, but also just from the confrontation between him and Brady that I was with him one time. I can't speak about on this show
Oh,
since
I
it's
got to hear
family
about
friendly,
that.
but you know,
Well,
Brady is spending his time at Arizona State while Kirk Creason was at Arizona. There was a
Oh,
little.
yeah.
Yeah, we played him a couple of times. So it was as people being a part of both a Louisville Kentucky rivalry and an Arizona State rivalry, it's very similar. Now it's not as passionate, but the same feel is there. So obviously Arizona State, and he did not like, he wasn't a fan of Arizona State. Let's just put it that way.
That's awesome. You know, I picked him up for my like fantasy player draft like twice over the years. Kirk
Who?
Creason. Yeah. Like me and
That's
my friends
awesome.
do that. Have you ever done that before where you get everybody picks like eight players or whatever in the NCAA tournament and you get their points, rebounds, assists?
Oh, no,
But
I
you
never
have
got
to,
it.
it's fun. I'll you
We
should
need
jump
to
in
be
on it when
invited
it's
on this, Joe.
I'd love for you to do it. It's like you have to like four of them can be from a 1 through 4 seed. And then you have to have one, you know, 5 through 8 and 1 9 through
Okay.
whatever. And then 2 at-larges or something like, or an at-large, something like that. But it's a blast. It's a blast. Anywho.
Well, we are thinking about in the future having a You Know the Drill podcast, staff and guest fantasy league of some kind, probably in basketball. So you invite us to this NCAA tournament game you're playing, and we will make sure that you're on the roster for this You Know the Drill
Absolutely.
podcast fantasy.
Deal. Deal. Megan Conley, thank you so much for being the rock behind my life. In case you want to listen to this, there's never been a more wonderful woman ever created in the world than you. You put up with so much buffoonery from me and the other three males in the house, Huey, Dewey, and Louie, that they should commission a statue of you immediately because you are a goddess. You are a queen amongst mortals. God bless us, everyone, since we have you, Megan Conley. I love you so much, dear. So much.
Joe's just
Sorry.
making us look bad now, Brady. I don't know that
I
any
know
other men
you're,
have gotten this shout out.
that's Joe, you are making my wife's going to be asking, where's my shout outs or flowers? I know
I
you've got
avoid
a,
the internet most of the time. I want to say thank you.
I know you
Go
have a
ahead.
good Christmas present for her, probably. You got your Christmas gifts picked out yet?
Oh, it's my birthday on Christmas, Brady, but I got her a Peloton this year.
Oh my
She wanted
gosh.
that.
Oh.
It was aftermarket from a friend.
I was going to say, I taught for a long time, Joe, and it sounds like I should have been
No,
teaching at
I don't
TLS.
have money like that. They gave me a nice friends and family discount on that thing.
State tournament gift. I get it.
Speaking of the state tournament, so Brady, my kid, I forgot to tell you this. This is why my wife's, another reason why my wife's awesome. Got stitches, my 3-year-old, during the fourth quarter of the game. And she took the kid to the ER and did not even tell me so that I could enjoy being my 40-year-old ball boy himself, the last fourth, you know, the fourth quarter of the game and celebrate for 10 minutes before I went off, you know, to take care of other businesses after that, like my lacrosse thing and take care of my family. But how cool is that? And the little guy is going to have a nice scar right here, which will be a constant and daily reminder of the day the Spartans reigned supreme and took the final jewel and stuck it in that crown, baby, because it was epic and it was meant to be. It was meant to be. Thanks to Chad Pennington.
I remember seeing that Facebook post of that happening and her not telling you, and I was like, man, that's when I already knew that Joe outdid himself, but that really seals the deal right there.
Yes, I am. Yeah, I'm floundering down here at NAIA, and she is the NIL queen. Livy Dunn, eat your heart out. This is Megan Conley, is the she's raking it in. All
Well,
the
Joe,
kudos.
we can't appreciate you enough, man, for hopping on this podcast. This will not be your last invite, so go ahead and expect to have another maybe roundtable discussion here with You Know the Drill and some more guests. So, man, again, appreciate you so much. We could talk to you all day, and Dude, I want to catch up with you and Brady, not on the podcast, but maybe somewhere over dinner or something like that. We've got to get together sometime.
You
And
know, I've
so,
always been enchanted by Eastern Kentucky, so I will legit come anywhere. It is I had friends from Magoffin County when I was little, and just hearing them talk about it, I fell in love with it. So I'm romanticized by anything Eastern Kentucky. I will be there. You
we
tell
will
me
make it
and I'll
happen.
come.
Well, Joe, Wes is in Lexington now.
Oh, well then let's hang out right here in a minute. I'll come over.
Perfect. Perfect. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, Joe Conley, man of many hats, man who wears many hats, Brady Kennedy,
And speak Spanish.
and speaks Spanish. Maybe the next time we'll do the show entirely in Espanol, I'll get some of those earbuds I see on TikTok all the time that does the real-time translate. But
Por supuesto.
you know the drill, sponsored by MCHC, providing better health for a longer life. Wes Smith, Brady Kennedy, Joe Conley. We love you all. Joe, you're the man.
The man,
Love you
Joe.
guys. Love you guys very much. Merry Christmas.
You know the drill with Wes Smith. Wes Smith. Wes Smith. Presented by MCHC.